You know what time it is? It's Saturday, and it's time to talk with Emma.
It's me. I'm telling you, it's been a day already. Technical difficulties, but we are professionals. That is my new t-shirt. We are professionals. I want to welcome everybody today, and it's going to be a great show. My guest is Dr. Bob Weil. I think I said that right. He'll let me know if I didn't. Sports podiatrist. I can't say that word. He's foot doctor, and he's also a radio show host of The Sports Doctor on right here on BBS Radio as well. Dr. Bob has treated many, many of the world's premier athletes in all types of sports, from ice skating to tennis to dance. Dr. Bob also promotes safe and sensible advice for parents of young athletes, which we all need that today, and advocates and supports ending childhood obesity, which is run amok, I have to tell you. That's with an M, people. We'll talk about him and the Sports Doctor is in series and show and get some great advice. And come in. Looks like the doctor's in. So hello, Dr. Bob. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Emma. It's always fun to join you. Throw in a little sports medicine education awareness, a couple of positive actions. So the sports doctor's in. How could I help you?
Well, Dr. Bob, I have this problem with my ankle, but we'll get into that later.
Okay.
Because we have a lot more stuff, important stuff to cover, because my ankles, they like to roll in when
it's common.
I'm
that's
walking
a, yeah, it's stuff. A common imbalance yeah. that causes all sorts of concerns. The feet affect all areas above. Now, interestingly enough, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, my show, The Sports Doctor on BBS Radio, we talk as much about concussions as we do about sports parenting, as we do about nutrition, as we do about performance, as we do about the role of the foot. So we have a big, big, big umbrella. But that's a key point. The foot mechanics affect the rest of the body, and it's still something that people need to be more and more aware of.
Oh, absolutely, because I had fallen a couple of years ago and broke my leg and my ankle, and now my ankle is nothing but like 25, 35 screws, something like that, I think is what the doctor counted. So I've got arthritis in there, and I've got.
Do you have orthotics, yeah. Emma? Do you have prescription orthotics?
I don't have prescription orthotics.
That's what you want.
I do have the Dr. Scholl's, like you go and stand on the little thing, and they tell you.
Well, that's a lot better than nothing. But it's sort of like me saying to you, you know, you need glasses and go to Walgreens. Maybe you could find some readers. So usually, in the proper hands, the prescription, which is unique to your joint specifications, is what's optimum. But I'll sell you on that the next guest appearance.
absolutely, because Dr. Bob's been on the show many times. He's always been a joy to talk to, and he's got stories that the Olympic athletes and the tennis stars and. I mean, that he has worked with is amazing. I mean, from John McEnroe in tennis to, I just can't name them all. And he's helped every single one of them. And look what happened. They're champions. You need to see Dr. Bob. If you're in, he's up by Chicago, right, Dr. Bob? You're up in that,
that
area?
Yes, I'm in the Chicago area. Everybody remembers Tracy Austin. I was very, very fortunate, Emma, to meet a world-famous bodybuilder turned sports expert, rehabilitation expert, Bob Guida, in the late 70s. And athletes came to Bob to be quicker, faster, stronger, to rehabilitate injuries. And he had tremendous respect for the role of the foot. first thing he would do is have you stand on one foot and watch your balance and see how stable you were. And he had, that's why the McEnroes came, or the Tracy, Jimmy Connors, they came to be better athletes and to try to prevent injury. And again, whether you're in the best shoe for you or your kids, or whether, again, you do you have high arches? Are you flat-footed? How flexible are you? So all of these things, let alone your history, you know, where you have, hey, I'll give you a great champion example. Tiger Woods, he just walked 4 days of golf after shattering his ankle, that unbelievable injury. He's one of the biggest stories in sports rehab. Absolutely. Many times, yeah. So that was one of the main reasons I was fortunate enough to see the Walter Paytons and the Jim McMahons as they were coming to Bob and his associates to, again, do the two things everybody cares about, Emma, when they're a serious athlete. Number one, can I prevent problems? And number two, can I be two steps quicker, jump a little higher? You know, right. And the rest of us fall in between somewhere.
Yeah, I definitely fall in between somewhere. I do. Well, I mean, when I broke my leg, that was some of the physical therapy I had to learn to stand on one leg.
Oh, yes. Physical therapy. Yes.
I still can't do it.
I hope you still do it. Yes. I hope you still pay attention to those exercises.
Well, I still do the physical therapy. Yeah. But at home, but I
Good.
Still can't stand on one leg. I fall on my head.
No, but there are pieces. Yes, there are. Again, the kinds of exercises that you learned in physical therapy, where you're working on balance, you're standing on tilt boards, you're doing those kinds of things. Sometimes are can be very, very helpful. But you know, in today's pressure-packed world of youth sports. We truly have an epidemic with capital letters and some of these overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. The pressure on these kids to play and their families and the traveling teams and the club teams. There's so much overkill in youth sports. It's really, really a challenge. We're paying big attention. And awareness is one of my favorite words. Emma, three words, actually: awareness of what we're dealing with, education to try to learn what to do and how to do it about it, and then positive action. And I think those are the kinds of things we stress on the sports doctor when we're dealing with everything from bullying to ankle problems and everything in between.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how much overwork. You know, kids are, and I blame some of it on the parents because it's like maybe the parent was, you know, the high school football quarterback,
yes.
You know.
Oh, you blame it all on the, yes. Everybody can picture, and, even though we're on the radio instead of video, everybody could picture the overzealous, ranting, raving parent on the sidelines. Yes. This has been a big problem over the years. And it's interesting, you know, the 2010, we just celebrated the 13th anniversary, Emma. The 2010 men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in the skates. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-olds, high-level skates. And 12 years later, he was the best in the world. But I had his mom. You can still find it on my website. You go back 10 years longer. I had his mom, Tanya, fantastic lady, after the Olympics. We were all excited, all celebrating. And I asked her the very question you just brought up. I said, Tanya, because she was always in charge of everything he was doing. Positive. I asked her, how did you know it wasn't your goal, that you weren't overdoing it, that it was his? He said, you know, Dr. Weil, we had ice time at 6:30 in the morning, and I never had to wake the kid up. You know, there he was in the car with his gloves on, ready to go. I said, if we were writing a novel, I couldn't come up with a better reason to answer that question. Coaches also are at fault here. You know, youth sports is a huge business. You know, there's a documentary that's coming out probably in the next 3 months that I've been participating in, gosh, for over 3 years, Joel Franco is the founder of Chesapeake Films in Vegas. And he's a sports dad, and he's produced a documentary interrupted with the pandemic and all that craziness called Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. It's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the reason I bring it up is when he first was talking with me, he was on my show maybe 3 years ago or something like that, in the beginning of this whole thing, he said, Doc, youth sports like a $14 billion a year business. Yeah. And a year later, when we'd be following up and talking about it, he said, you know, Doc, it's like $17 billion. Anyway, now he says it's $25 billion. So the point is, it's big business. Whether you have a son or daughter who's trying to get a scholarship, whether you have challenges of the your son or daughter who's having concerns with teammates or with their coach. And in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, when we talk about this, I call some of these coaches Svengali coaches, these overbearing warlords. And this is, we're all famous with all of this. When we look at gymnastics, we look at some soccer, et cetera, where we've already run into all sorts of concerns with these overzealous coaches. So we put them in with the parents. And this is why I've been talking about it, I don't know, 30 years, give or take a few weeks, with some of these different challenges. You know, like you mentioned, for a long, long time, I've been talking, having experts dealing with childhood obesity. You know, an overweight child has joint problems, let alone the mental and physical problems.
It's crazy. I was watching the school bus let the kids out at where I live, and these are like, they look like 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds that could probably wear, you know, men and women's clothes. I mean, they were so big they couldn't fit into little kids' clothes, and they were wobbling like a weevil. It sounds awful, but bless their heart.
And this is with everything from the First Lady Michelle Obama. Her whole first ladyship was about children's fitness and children's nutrition. Yeah. I had a shot at getting her on the show. It never happened. I was very disappointing. I got one of her chefs on where we talked about it.
Yeah.
But the point was, it didn't. We were still challenged. Of course, the pandemic has quadrupled all of these concerns because of the there being no school, there being no PE class, et cetera. With all the awareness and attention, and this great stuff, we talk about a lot of it in the documentary, there's a lot of great things going on in youth sports, adolescent sports, and serious sports, a lot of great things, but we're still treading water in some of these really, really major things, which is, let's say, the fitness of our children. And you can't turn on the TV with a special for an hour without hearing about the mental health. You know, it's amazing, Emma, on my show, no matter where in the world my guest is, locally, internationally, wherever, whatever their vocation is, number one, they're talking about mental health and what this has meant, you know, to all of us. So, you know, this is a good example of the kinds of things that, on the one hand, boy, there's a lot of great information going on the positive side of the sports world, the youth sports world. But I had a guest on 2 months ago who's a referee, an umpire. Guy's in his 40s. He said, Doc, we can't get any referees or umpires. Nobody wants to put up with the abuse of the parents.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
again,
I can imagine, you know.
Now, what this has to do with foot problems, who knows, you know?
Well,
you never know.
Probably
a lot. You're standing
because,
on those sidelines for hours, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just craziness. But, I mean, like you said, if your feet hurt, your whole body hurts. I mean,
there was a famous pamphlet, and it was very close to what you just said. The pamphlet was, when your feet hurt, you hurt all over. You just hit the nail on the head, which is a very, very common situation. And foot mechanics, whether you have high arches like your mother or grandmother, whether you have flat feet like your mother or grandmother or grandfather, whether you're developing the same bunions that your mother and grandmother had, whether you're dealing with hammer toes, all of these factors have a lot of inherited characteristics. So many times this is something we're paying attention to with your young son or daughter when we really are trying to stay out of trouble and try to, at the very least, have them in the best shoe for their particular foot mechanics. Half the girls I've seen over the years, give or take a few, in various sports, almost half, I'm a foot specialist, are knee trouble because of what we just talked about. Especially the adolescent girls where the hips are getting wider. Girls are developing the hormones, a little bit more flexibility, and then all of a sudden we see all these knee problems. So again, that's what we want to get across, that the feet do affect. Even if the feet don't hurt themselves, they affect everything else. And as I tell people all the time, if you or your family or your young athlete has a persistent or a recurrent lower extremity concern, their back always hurts, you always get shin splints, the knees are bothering them, their heels hurt, it's foot related. Mm-hmm. And this is almost always still missed, especially if the feet don't. I've had young girls have knee surgery before they would get the right orthotic in their shoes, because of the fact that no one was paying big attention to maybe her ankles rolled in, like you said in the first sentence of the show, Emma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's
it's
what
a
mine
big
does.
Point. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't wear high heels because they roll in, and oh my God, I'm walking.
I have
on
to
my
send you my article. You know, the one of my most popular articles. I've written a lot of them on the website sportsdoctorradio.com. It's called "Women and High Heels." Accepting the challenge. And we do pay big attention to, let alone, of course, you can't wear because of your history and you got screws in your ankles and whatever, it's enough. But when we start seeing women who are wearing a lot of heels, then we try to pay attention to things like not jamming the ball of the foot in the shoe and get causing all sorts of toe problems. Once you get to an inch and a half heel or higher, you're changing the mechanics of your back and your hips. So I tell these gals to do some core strengthening and strengthen their feet and ankles, Emma.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you know, Grandma always said, you know, stand up straight and walk straight. And, you know, and posture, Dr. Bob,
big.
I'm sure posture has a lot to do with it.
Yes,
as
it does.
Well, because, you know, you look like a ball of jello, you know, you're just kind of, and some of these kids and adults, I mean, they, you know, walk like they're, I don't know what, but.
Well,
up,
again, you
know?
you can't turn your television on for 5 minutes without seeing a diet commercial. And you also can't turn your television on for 5 minutes without seeing drug commercials, both of which I've rallied against for as long as I've been on the radio over 4 decades, this constant barrage that there's a pill for everything and this constant barrage of more is better and all you can eat and all of these concerns. And the right now we are in an explosion of diabetes.
There is
100 million diabetics, which is a lifelong concern regarding again, so much is involved with diet. So much is involved with lifestyle. So not every kid could play sports, you know, and especially when you're talking about competitive sports. So awareness, that number one word we talked about, which is that parents and school organizations, park districts, et cetera, need to understand that we're still in the middle of this obesity epidemic, and we can't afford this obesity epidemic, dollar-wise, it'll break us. We can't afford to bring up all these kids who are developing juvenile diabetes. We had to change the name 15 years ago or so because it was adult onset. And they said, Jesus, where are all these 13-year-olds with diabetes? Again,
I mean,
the diet,
crazy.
Yes, it is. So this is why, again, I'm giving you a good example of all the topics I talk about on the Sports Doctor.
This is good, you know. But now couldn't like some of the like food, the bad food, the processed food, the, you know, stick it in the microwave and have it done in, you know, 2 minutes instead of going and grow,
yes.
You know, even
well,
getting,
yeah.
you know, going,
I, you know,
going
I
and
think
getting,
we're all understanding.
Is,
yeah. We're yeah, all understanding,
I mean,
Eva.
I'm sorry.
I call it the new medicine, and there's three parts of it. And number one is eat smarter. And smarter
yeah.
means just smarter and taking into it where it's more fruits and vegetables, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we grew up with wanting to go to McDonald's. You know, fast food is such a big deal. It's such a major advertising. And it just really, really, then plus the fact that we realized after all these years that the old food pyramid and all that other stuff was, half of it was baloney. We had so much to learn about. But again, when you start using the word diet and you start getting into these kinds of disciplines, it's another big topic on the Sports Doctor. I call it the mental game. You know, whether you're the best athlete in the world or a coach or a parent, or you're trying to stick to your diet, or you're trying to stick with your exercise program, it's all mental. It's, you know, it's
every bit of it. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Every bit of it.
Yes, it is.
You
yes,
know,
it is.
And, you know, going back to food, it's like but the healthy food is like four times more expensive. And they need to.
I think that's overhyped. I think it's overhyped.
That's crazy.
Yes. But I think that people need to understand they don't have to drive themselves. You know, sports nutrition is a big deal now. There's not a professional team. There's not even a college team or a high school team where the athletic trainer and the coach is talking to these kids big time about nutrition. Proper nutrition makes you heal faster, recover faster, more energy, perform better. So now, you know, years and years ago, when someone said, let's have a hamburger and a steak as a pregame meal, you know, there's a whole science behind all of these factors. And this is something, again, that becomes very, very important. Trying to make a dent in these either lifestyle related diseases like diabetes or the obesity related everything from high blood pressure to heart problems.
Heart disease.
To also,
exactly.
And it's, 100 times more expensive, with these kids. But in the health and wellness, again, where you want to be being able to be active for as long as you can, for as old as you possibly could be, then you got to keep moving. So it's up to you to come up, whether you want to play pickleball, whether it's hard to beat walking,
I used to walk all the time. And then whenever I tore my ACL in my left knee, and then a few years later, I broke my left leg, and that's the one with all the screws in it. And it's hard for me to walk. I mean, my knees are giving out, and my hips.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
got
to see, you got to see podiatry, Emma. You got to see a competent podiatrist who can advise you on being, whether it's shoe related, whether it's physical therapy related, and you might be, dealing with that already. And sometimes it's a real challenge. When we're talking about, anti-inflammatories, medications, over-the-counter medications, we're very, very excited about CBD, which is a natural substance that can be extremely helpful. And, it doesn't have any of the marijuana side effects, or medical marijuana sometimes is very, very helpful when you're dealing with. There are a few areas of the body that are more complicated than the foot ankle. So your kind of history is you definitely want to include that input is my pearl for the day on your Saturday premiere show for you to pay attention, dear.
I am.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I go find a staple gun, Dr. Bob, and we'll and put me back together, you know. And then
that
and
ain't
then
the answer. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You got to look at enhancing your position. And that's where orthotics come in. That puts us whether, again, you're looking to be jump higher and be better balanced, prevent falls. But you're talking about that prescription alignment, and you're already in that direction. But Scholl's is minimal in that regard. And then you know you might want to be doing some of these other kinds of exercise. You know, in my book Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, I recommend two exercise concepts for any young athlete, any sport, any age, any adult. And the two exercises, if you have your pencil out, is number one, strengthen your feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. Ankle injuries are still number one in any sport. They're a nightmare because the ankle many times is assumed, we'll walk it off when it's a problem. And if you're, again, you're looking for be more explosive, quicker, land with better balance, strengthen those feet and ankles. And the second one is work balance. You really want, and that's what Bob Guida made him famous. We called it instability training. Imagine everybody, you're balancing on a mini trampoline. You might have a baseball glove on or a tennis racket in your hand, and Guida is throwing balls at you, and your body is adapting to all of these challenges. Today, fall prevention in the senior population, there's not a bigger topic. And again, these kinds of exercises, and it is ironic, whether your son or daughter is the best athlete in the state, or you're asking me about your grandmother, I'm telling you to work her balance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, balance
very
is
safely.
You know.
Yes, you can hold on to the wall. You could stand on one foot at a time, and then you can do some exercises.
Yeah. Well, see, I've been doing all those, and I don't know if it's just, you know, me or what, but I still fall on my head. In fact, I fell the other day at work, and you know, I got my foot caught in some stuff and fell right flat on my face. So it's not been a good week, Dr. Bob.
But, no. I mean, well, again, you have to be very aware. And there are all sorts of balance. My sister just went through a whole extensive, because she was having some dizzy, whole extensive inner ear. Sometimes we see it related.
Well, that was my next question, if inner ear might have something to do with it.
Yes, it has. A very famous figure skating coach, Sheila Thielen, been a numerous guest on my show, she works with these skaters who are doing all these spins and these spinning and double and triple spins, and her group is called Vestibular Training Systems, and she works with whether it's superstars or grandpas on rotational exercises to try to work that particular balance. So we've gotten a lot more sophisticated. And again, you as an example, you have to just continue to work on what's been helpful, as well as you need to be super aware of where you're walking and the kinds of shoes you're in and all of these things to try to minimize your chances of falling so that you could have a better week next week, you know?
Well, I hope so. So it's just craziness. Now, as far as the feet go, you know, I've got friends, well, me, myself, I've got heel spurs. Now, can I get those taken off? Will they come
heel
back?
Heel spurs, yes. The heel spurs are a protrusion of bone on the bottom of the heel almost all the time from long-term traction of the big band of fiber on the bottom of the foot called the plantar fascia. And it attaches to the bottom of the heel. And over the years, usually 40s and older, we can start that bone responding by building bone and forming a heel spur. Rarely is this a surgical problem. Almost always, even if it is plantar fasciitis, which is inflammation of the band that I just talked about, is the most common problem we see in active people. Whatever they happen to be doing, plantar fasciitis, heel pain, or arch pain. Okay. But the heel spur, usually, again, is an ongoing reaction to that traction. So, again, the right kind of insert, magic for that person.
Nice.
Sometimes,
well, Dr. Ball, we have
injection.
We have a caller online one. So, I believe it's Deborah. Deborah, can you hear us?
I certainly can. This is a great show. Thank you.
Hey, Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I think you know Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob, this is Deborah.
Yes, I sure do.
Hi, Dr. Bob. I'm glad that you're talking about all this because I think it's so fascinating. And I did have a question because I studied ballroom dancing for 6 years. And at the end of those 6 years, my heel hurt so badly. I could barely walk across the floor, but I was wearing orthotics in my tennis shoes to go to jazzercise to get regular exercise. So I didn't even know you could get orthotics for dance shoes.
It's like putting an orthotic in a figure skate or putting an orthotic in a racing shoe, even putting an orthotic in a high heel or a woman's shoe. Mm-hmm. The orthotic has to be much narrower and smaller, but I've got a ton of dancers, who, by the way, are some of the best athletes I've ever seen. I have a ton of dancers. We just put soft, flexible insoles in this ballroom dancer's shoes because now the shank of her shoe, Deborah, is not rigid. It's very, very floppy.
Yeah.
So, but usually you can come up with something. And again, heel problems are very, very common. And sometimes, again, it's even where the Achilles tendon attaches to the back of the heel, which is somebody else's problem. You could also get heel spurs on the back of the heel, besides on the bottom of the heel. But heel pain is very, very common. You know, ballroom dancing is really, really physical. And the shoes are pieces of paper, you know. So
they are so thin. Yes, exactly.
Hey, listen, I had a guy, when Lysacek won the gold medal, I had one of the dancers, because he was on Dancing with the Stars, and I put a color-coded plastic Velcro orthotic in her three-inch heels that she competed in. That was an adventure.
So did that help her move better?
Saved her.
Wow, I wish I would have known that way back then.
Yes,
when I was doing
Yeah. Well, wow. Again, it's when you're talking, let's say a ballerina shoe, it's next to impossible. There's no doubt about it that
do you put them in toe shoes for ballerinas?
No, we put maybe almost like a soft Dr. Scholl's arch pad or some sort of arch flexible
just on
device
the arch part. The foot.
Just on the arch part. And even then, it's a subjective. The biggest scientists I used to know were the ballet dancers talking about their point shoes. Don't change anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're so customized to each person.
Absolutely. Well, it's like a figure skate, again, where we have, know, the orthotic that you might be very happy with in your sneaker, which is wonderful.
Yes.
Is in a lady's shoe, it's worthless. So usually with a guy, we can use the same orthotic in his shoe that he runs 10 miles a day, and he can go to a wedding with these flexible kind of plastic devices. So I hope we answered your question, Deb.
You did. Thank you, guys. This is a great show. Continue on. I'm so happy for you guys. Thank you.
Hey, the first phone call. Hey, okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, Deborah. That's very kind of you. So, well, there you go. So, see, Dr. Bob puts stuff, orthotics, in just about everything. Now, speaking of shoes, Dr. Bob, that I have a question. How do you pick the best shoe for you? Because I know, you know, growing up, your mom took you to the shoe store or to wherever, and she put you in shoes, and she put her thumb up there, you know, where's your big toe? Where's your big toe?
Yeah.
You know, and then you
I got news for you. It's still the best test for whether a shoe is too long or not. Yeah, the thumbnail. But yeah, you want to be you want to have your kids or yourself fitted properly. It's one of the things that made New Balance famous is they did with sizing. Nobody else did it. And buy a name branded. You can't beat for your children or yourself. Can't beat a good walking shoe. You really can't beat it. Whether it's Adidas, whether it's Nike, whether it's New Balance. It's hard to beat a good walking shoe. They don't last forever. You know, you should change them after a year or so if you wear a shoe like that a lot, which a lot of people do. Then it's hard to beat that for your whole body. But we try to tell parents again, get your son or daughter, get them fitted so that you know they're in the right size, and you can't go wrong with a good sneaker. And then you can kind of go from there. I can't tell you how many young kids I have who put their orthotics from their skates in their UGG boots.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they fit.
I never thought about that, but you know, that would work. So, you know, because I need some new shoes. Now I had some New Balance tennis shoes years ago that I loved those things. I mean, I walked so straight. It was just amazing.
Yeah. Well, again, New Balance has the width sizing, and people sometimes are very surprised. You know, we all think our shoe size never changes, which is a misnomer. Women after pregnancy, their shoe sizes sometimes change, and sometimes change forever as the body goes through some of the hormonal changes. So you really want to, it doesn't mean that I'm the same size 9 I was in college. You know, I'm 10 and a half. So you want to be fit properly, and you want to include the evaluation. And don't get hung up with, the, you know, it's hard. It's like new cars every year, man. You know, running shoes and walking shoes.
Yeah.
Huge, gigantic business, aerobic shoes. And so sometimes you can drive yourself crazy. But if you're fit properly, I tell people if you bought a brand new pair of sneakers, for instance, that, you know, hang around the house in them for a day or two. I can't tell you. People sometimes say, gee, you know, I loved them. I wore them out of the thing. You know, 2 days later, I think they're too small. Now I can't bring them back. So those are a couple of things to keep in mind. And comfort's number one.
Yeah. Now, when I was little, I would get a new pair of tennis shoes and then go out like in the rain and walk in the mud puddles and water puddles and then wear them till they got dry. And that would like stretch them out. Now, was I doing a bad thing?
I'm sure you were subjective. As a rule, we would say these kinds of materials, you know, really if they get wet enough, then you're going to go stretch them. And sometimes stretch them abnormally. Yeah. So it wouldn't be a good habit. Not that you couldn't do it once in a while.
Oh, oops. But it just, that's, and I still do that. You know, if I've got a shoe, that's because my feet are short and fat. So, or wide, you might say. And, but then after standing all day, they swell. So if the shoe fit really good in the morning, then by 5 o'clock or whenever.
Well, that's a good point. Emma. I'm glad you brought it up. It's a good point. We tell people all the time, if you're going to shop for shoes, shop later in the day, because exactly with what you said, you want to include that awareness that there's a possibility that what you bought at 10 in the morning is going to be problematic if you're standing all day. So as the general rule, we would go later in the day. So if there is any swelling, then it will be considered. And usually there's no way we have enough swelling that's going to make the shoe too big. But you certainly don't want to be in something that's too snug. And you've got to be subjective. We ask people all the time, are you comfortable? And it's very, very important, especially if you have postural problems. Again, where you can't afford to be walking on eggs, where one foot hurts, another foot hurts, where we have all sorts of problems on the ball of the foot. You know, podiatry has been around for hundreds of years, trimming people's corns and calluses. and dealing with ingrown toenails and giving people great relief. Over the decades, it's become a highly sophisticated surgical profession. Some of the best phalangeal surgeons are podiatry. Also, big steps up again in sports medicine. You know, the idea again of strengthening the feet and ankles and paying attention it's one of the best things a sports parent can do is they could sit down with their son or daughter and find out if there's anything that's hurting. Mm-hmm. How you doing? Do your knees still bothering you? What do you mean you're taking two Advil twice a day because your knees hurt? Because you got to compete. Yeah. You know, it's another chapter in the book is youth sports and drugs, over-the-counter medicines, so that gal we just spoke to now could, you know, continue on ballroom dancing some of these young kids. So again, we go back again to that term of overkill. And when people are looking to start an exercise program, it's still, you know, the new 2023. When I used to have people on my show, Emma, from the fitness club industry, and if I happen to have them on at the beginning of the year, we always be talking about New Year's resolutions and all these new guests.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
4 months later, yeah. four months later, we'd see the same faces in the gym, you know, that we always saw because, you know, people, you know, couldn't. And that's one of the keys. You got to find an activity that you enjoy. Maybe it's yoga. You know,
that was another question. You know, how do you know, you know, if you like as a child, if you like, say, yoga or dance or softball or baseball, you know, you can't.
Well, it's up to the parents. I think that, you know, yeah, parents need to expose the kids. You know, we have a big concern about early specialization in certain sports. It's another chapter called the prodigy sports. Think about figure skating or gymnastics, for example, where you have 10, 11, 12-year-olds who turn around, they're in the Olympics. You know, they started so early. They didn't want to play other sports. So we try to recommend to sports organizations, teams, parents, coaches, to be highly recommending playing multiple sports, give kids good exposure, using different parts of the body. Instead of specializing, where we start running into, we call it repetitive motion injuries. Think of the young tennis player who's swinging a racket 500 times a week. And maybe, you know, now his shoulder hurts and his elbows hurt. For the rest of us, we think about a little expression, if you have your pencil out again, and it's called the terrible twos.
Yeah.
And the terrible twos are either doing too much, being too aggressive, or just piling it on. And this is one of our biggest concerns, again, whether people are looking to try to get into an exercise program that doesn't continually hurt them or mm-hmm. cause more trouble than not. You know, pickleball is huge now. Pickleball is just is incredibly huge, but it's physical. So
right.
I had to write a couple articles about that. You know, people were jumping on the pickleball court. Again, it was a big, big time senior sport. And everybody was, gee, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt, my arthritic knees, blah, blah, blah. And we said, hey, you know, there's a lot of movement in pickleball. Yeah. So if you could find an activity, hard to beat walking, maybe you like to go to the gym and do circuit training. That's always been one of my favorites. A couple days a week and include weights, include machines. If you don't know what to do, then you get some feedback from a good physical therapist who could show you what are the best exercises for you and your new program, or very importantly, what's the best exercises for your son or daughter who's now getting more and more serious into the sport to try to prevent injuries. The coach is not the expert. So we recommend whether get a personal trainer. Doesn't mean we're in a program. It means a lot of these kids, we have them on a home program like you were doing after physical therapy that you could do to try to. But the terrible twos are a big problem, but it's a funny acronym that a lot of people can remember. Because overdoing it and being too aggressive is one of the biggest reasons people quit their exercise program, because they just overdid it, man. They're injured.
Right. And people want, like, instant fixes. They want to go to the gym, like, two times and get into that size, you know, five dress or whatever.
Yes.
But it took you 2 years to gain this weight. It's going to take you a little while to lose it. And a lot of people want to lose it real fast, and then they gain, like, twice as much back. I've seen that happen. And it's you know. Now, what about stretches? Could stretches help with some of the ankle, you know, preventing the ankle injuries?
Of course it can, but
stretches,
there's 14 different kinds of stretches. So you need have proper technique, whether you're doing Pilates, whether you're doing stretching, you need to be doing proper technique so you don't injure yourself. So again, you need to be tuned into that the exercises that you're doing are proper. You know, people join a gym, they get some feedback from the individual personal trainers there that could be able to pay attention with their a particular technique. Again, this whole overkill, we see it in youth sports. You know, we have a young, we're talking about one of our longtime baseball experts with the Baseball Blue Book. The organization's over 100 years old. Putting together parents and coaches and recruiters and, you know, where's the best place for my son to go play baseball and et cetera, all of these different kinds of challenges, lots of pressure, again, on these kids and everything associated with it. More is better. These strength and conditioning coaches, which sometimes are just overdoing it on some of these different teams, on some of these different sports. Right. And again, it's a constant. Again, we've made a lot of great progress. There's a lot of good education, you know, and mind-body is now something that's very, very well accepted. Yoga and other kinds of dance that the people can get into that they might find, you know, fun and have a good chance to stick with it. But our whole culture is about more is better. And faster is better. And if there's a bigger challenge today for all of us than reducing stress, you got to tell me what it is.
I don't know, because stress is just, I mean, people are stressed out over everything these days. And,
But you know something? It's hard to be stressed out or pissed off when you're exercising. Try it sometime.
That's true.
It's tough to be aggravated. Yes,
so,
it is.
Our time is practically up, Dr. Bob. I'm telling you, it just flies.
Good time.
It just flies.
Yes.
So if someone listening wanted to, get some exercises and stuff, you talked about physical therapy. Can they call, like, the hospital physical therapy? Can they look in the telephone book? Well, telephone book, I'm dating myself.
There are big groups. There are big groups like Athletico and 25 States and ATI and Physical. There are all of these physical therapy groups independently owned. Again, you can get a recommendation from your physician. It's not not a concern at all. But again, lots of different information, lots of great radio shows. If you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, you can hear about all of it, read about lots of different things, newspaper articles, et cetera. My show, The Sports Doctor, where I feature a couple of guests, we feature some emails, et cetera, is live on BBS every Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you know, Emma, I like trading radio shows.
I know, and everybody
we'll
listening,
get you, we'll
it's
get
gonna
you
be
on.
A video, but I have technical difficulties. So with just a few minutes left, you mentioned your radio show and everything. Give everybody the info to get a hold of you if they had questions. Can they call your office and ask questions? Or
well, there's the all that information is on the website. If somebody wants to send an email, if somebody wants to ask a question through, again, we have thousands of followers on Twitter and on LinkedIn. Those are organizations right. that people might be contacting me, but they can get all sorts of information from A to Z if they go to sportsdoctorradio.com, and then they can follow whatever in order to, I get emails all the time. Some we answer on the show, but if they follow through any of those prompts, they'll catch me.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm telling you, we've got like 4 minutes, I believe, if I'm looking at my clock right. So, or maybe 1 minute. Anyway, I want to thank Dr. Bob and our caller, Deborah. Thank you, our caller, Deborah, for first caller, yay, for calling in, asking questions. And we will be back in a couple weeks with more great guests. And Dr. Bob is going to be back, aren't you, Dr. Bob?
I will be back. It was a pleasure to be with you, Emma. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
All righty. Until next time, we'll see you. Bye.
We appreciate you tuning in to Let's Talk with Emma every other week on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time.